And joining us this morning from Logan Health, we have the trauma coordinator, Becky Cox. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
And we have an occupational therapist. There's Teresa Boder. Good morning, Therese.
Good morning.
Good to have you guys with us. You know, this is nothing compared to trauma that you guys deal with all the time. So relax and enjoy it, okay? I guess the question, first of all, is what is, can help us identify what a trauma coordinator does.
Sure. I provide the clinical care and oversight of our traumatically injured patients at Logan Health Whitefish Hospital. I provide trauma education and also do community injury prevention programs, which is part of what we're going to talk about today.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Therese?
I assess people's independence and safety after they discharge the hospital. So I assess their ability to take care of themselves before they go home after an illness or injury.
This is really basic stuff, isn't it? Like brushing your teeth and stuff like that, that we think nothing of it. We do it all the time, and then all of a sudden we, for some reason, can't.
Exactly.
Or forgot how. Mm-hmm. Gosh. So, I mean, I don't even begin to understand how that works, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. The thing I think we really want to talk about today is falling. This is one of those events in somebody's life that could actually change their lives forever.
Absolutely, 100%.
And so how often do people fall?
Well, more than you would realize. According to the National Coalition on Aging, falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries among older adults. I was speaking with Joy Fortin, the trauma program manager at Logan Health Medical Center yesterday, and got her report from last year for Logan Health Medical Center itself. 50% of patients who were admitted were as a result of falling.
50%?
50% of those admitted for traumatic injuries were from falls. And for our Whitefish Emergency Department, from January of this year, 2023, until September, 32% of the patients who came to the emergency department for injuries were from falls from ground level. So not from ladders or falling from a height, but from ground level. And 50% of those were admitted to the hospital with fractures of their pelvis or their hip or their femur.
Well, this is serious stuff.
It is serious.
Yeah, particularly as we age, bones get a little brittle and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about what we can do to prevent that. But these kinds of injuries, oftentimes people old enough don't recover from them.
Right. As mentioned, hip, pelvis, femur fractures, those take a long time, if ever, to recover from, depending on your age and mobility at the time. Most of those are sustained from slipping, tripping, landing onto the right or left hip. Also, a lot of elderly people just break an arm from falling. We call it a foosh, falling onto outstretched hand. That's how we try to catch ourselves. And so oftentimes break an arm or a wrist.
I have strained my wrist so many times doing that.
Me too. Very often. It's our second nature and not a good way to stop ourselves from falling.
What should we do?
Well, it's just very counterintuitive, but like if we think of it fast enough to tuck our hands in and just fall onto our side, if possible.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of just falling on your elbows, but that's just
that
as bad.
Too, but you could also in that way fracture your upper, your humerus. So, and another thing that often happens with slipping and tripping and falling is landing either directly onto your head on the ground or striking your head on something on the way down, like the table or the counter, resulting in a traumatic bleeding inside the brain. So that also is a significant injury.
You know, we're hearing a lot about this in the national news right now with Senator Mitch McConnell, who took a fall, and apparently he fell backwards and hit the back of his head, and he's having trouble.
Yeah, there's a lot of people also in the aging population who are on blood thinners for AFib or for having a stroke or from having had blood clots in their lungs or their legs, and that puts you at much higher risk of bleeding inside of your brain from a fall and striking your head.
So now you can help people who have fallen. You can take care of the injury, but then we need Therese to come in and help us to figure out how to use those muscles again.
Absolutely. So I see people in the hospital after they have fallen and after the trauma is over, and work on rehabilitation after. It's really interesting to see people's lives change so greatly after a fall. We call it a sentinel event, where it is life-altering, and it does take quite some time to recover from some of those injuries.
There are some things that, you know, like walking up and down stairs, for example. Now, there are ways you can get up and down the stairs, and you know how to do it, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. So we teach people different ways to go up and down stairs. Modifying the home to have handrails is such an important piece of decreasing a fall risk. But there are multiple ways to go up and down stairs to do it safely, whether you do one step at a time, whether you go sideways and up with the handrail.
I know that one person I know used to sit on the stairs and use her hands to, you know, push herself down and pull herself back up.
Yep.
That takes some upper body strength that a lot of people don't have.
Right. Exactly.
So you got to work on getting that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You brought it up, Therese. How do we keep from falling?
That's a great question.
There's this thing called gravity that we can't do anything about.
Right. And believe it or not, everyone falls. It's not just the elderly. Kids fall. Middle-aged people fall. Elderly adults fall. The biggest thing with elderly adults is the consequences seem to be much higher. We bounce better when we're younger, apparently.
Apparently. I fell and hurt my knee, and I did it going upstairs, but you know what I was doing? I was texting.
Yeah.
I was texting, and I thought, well, you know, I can do this. Well, I can't. And then I had to go and get my knee looked at, and I had to wear those crazy shorts that they make you wear. And anyway, that's my that's my advice. Do one thing at a time. This multitasking while you're walking is a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Okay, so Becky, from your perspective now in trauma, what can we do to keep ourselves from winding up in front of your people?
Well, mainly looking at things that put people at risk of falling. So there are a number of things, and Therese can speak to some of these as well. But as we age and see the doctor more, we tend to get placed on more medications, and medications have a lot of side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of people take medications to help them sleep, which can put them also at risk of falling from the drowsiness of the medication.
Oh my gosh, when you try to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Right. That is so often when people fall. You're already sleepy, and then taking a sleep aid on top of that, and wearing improper footwear. For example, I don't know if you remember how icy it was this last February.
Oh,
we
yes.
had more falls than ever during that month.
Wow.
And just the awareness of wearing ice cleats on your shoes, having them in your car, having them beside your door as you go out the house. Like, those are really important and helpful.
Well, you don't have to have just one pair of them either.
No.
They're not that expensive.
They're not. I wear them. I have three pairs. I keep them at various locations.
Yeah, you know, it'd be a good idea to keep some in the trunk.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the car, so they're always there.
Yes. And there are a lot of older people who have been advised by their physician to use a cane or a walker and have had them prescribed, yet are a little hesitant to use them, and that definitely puts them at risk of falling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, my dad was so attached to his cane. My gosh, I mean, he wouldn't get more than 6 inches away from that thing ever.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I thought it was a little weird, but...
He didn't want to fall.
No, that's true. He didn't. And but it made him comfortable, and he was afraid of losing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's a bit of a freedom involved in that, too, and having that cane so you know you can get up and move when you want to.
And understandably, for a lot of people, it's viewed as a loss of independence.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a struggle there, maybe for some people, of not wanting to accept that they might need something to keep them more stable,
mm-hmm.
Which I understand. And I have a grandmother who's 94, And she has adapted to using a cane just finally in this past year of her life. But she has also learned how to widen her stance as she walks and to walk very slowly, and thankfully has never fallen.
I got a couple of questions for both of you. I always ask healthcare professionals. So we'll start with you, Becky. How did you get into this? What drove you to be a trauma person?
Well, I think just being able to care for people, certainly in the emergency department when they're having one of the worst days of their lives, has always been important to me. And then just seeing that when it comes to injuries and traumatic injuries, they're almost always preventable. There's something that can be done ahead of time. So looking at that and becoming the trauma coordinator, a lot of that is prevention and prevention education. And I enjoy talking with people and having these community injury prevention events just to give people tools to recognize that there are things that we can do. We can be proactive and taking care of ourselves.
You're an RN.
I am.
Yeah. Where did you get your education?
In Havre, Montana, back before it was Montana State, even at Northern Montana College.
Mm-hmm. My wife went there.
Great. Yeah. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, she did the education thing. But so you got your RN there.
I did.
And so you did. What type of nursing have you done?
Primarily emergency.
So you really went for the big stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you see that in television and stuff, you see what happens in an emergency room, and boy, that's got to be pretty stressful.
It can be, but we learn over time and how to be calm and just be present for the patient. That's the most important thing.
So, Therese, occupational therapy, why that?
Yeah, I had a personal story with a family member who had a traumatic injury, and I got to see the rehab process that they went through, and I thought it was really interesting to see them again have one of the worst days of their lives and progress every day to get back to the life that they had before. So that was how I initially got into it. And then as I started studying more and realizing that the quality of life of people and what they enjoy doing is so important to them and getting them back to that.
What kind of training did you have to go through to get to where you are?
Yeah, so I got an undergraduate degree and a master's degree from the University of North Dakota, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what got you here?
Yeah, I had a fun route. I actually worked in Kalispell for 3 years, and then I did travel therapy, and I went to Hawaii and Colorado, and then made my way back to Montana.
Okay. Well, it's just neat that you guys are here and doing what you do. All right, you guys, tell us about the Fall Prevention Awareness.
Yes, September is Fall Prevention Month nationally. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be holding an event on September 14th, 1 week from today, at the Professional Office Building in Whitefish. And that is at 711 13th Street East, right next to the Whitefish Veterinary Hospital and across from Walgreens there. And we would really like to invite, in particular, older adults ages 65 plus, and anyone who spends time with someone who's at risk of falling or is showing signs of being at risk of falling, and any caregivers of elderly people in their homes.
All right. So all of us can attend. All we have to do is show up, or do we need to register ahead of time?
Nope. You can just show up.
Just
the
show
more
up.
The merrier.
All right. I would imagine this is one of those things that we don't think about, unfortunately, until it happens, and then it's, gosh, I wish I'd thought of that.
Right, yes. And we are going to have Therese and another occupational therapist, Carly Westensee, will be there to give some education. It's going to be, by the way, at 3 p.m. I don't know if I mentioned that. And I'll let Therese explain a little bit about what will be at this event.
Yeah, we're going to cover why fall prevention is important. Different risk factors that can increase your risk of falling, what you can do to prevent falls, different balance exercises we're going to go through, different home modifications People will go home with a checklist that they can go around their home and make sure that their home is as safe as possible for them. And then we're going to go through what to do if you fall. If the event happens, what do you need to do next?
Okay. And maybe even give people an understanding of what they have to go through to get back to the road of recovery. All the things that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little fear factor there to realize that we just need to be a little more careful. And, you know, and I find myself, and I'm long ways from being, you know, a senior citizen, I guess, but I think, at least that's what I think, but realizing that multitasking with your phone is not always the best thing to do, that maybe it's better when you're going to text to pull over to the side of the road or sit down or stop and stand there and do your texting before you walk.
Exactly. You hear a lot about texting and driving, but texting and walking can also be hazardous to your health.
I used to watch people do that in New York when I was living there. And I mean, we'd walk right into a cab. They'd literally walk right into a cab in the intersection. And I thought, gosh. And then who trips on the stars?
Yeah.
Texting. Moi. All right, you guys. Let's go over the event one more time. Where is it going to be, when, and how do we get there?
It will be in Whitefish at the Professional Office Building. Address, again, is 711 13th Street East. That is in Whitefish across from the Walgreens there at 3 p.m. Saturday 14th, a week from today.
All right. Ladies, thanks so much for helping us understand a bit more about falling and about trauma and about recovery. Because it's one thing to be healed. It's quite another to fully re-heal and, you know, recover.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Becky Cox and Therese Boder, we appreciate it.